Oh, snaps!
The world is finally waking up to the crap that's baked into and sprayed on kibble dog food. No longer can commercial pet food manufacturers fool us with pretty pictures and false promises. This is the raw dog food truth. The view and opinions expressed on this podcast are not intended to replace medical advice. Before starting any raw diet, do research, ask lots of questions, and consult your vet.
Well, good morning, everybody. I am Dee Dee Mercer-Muff, the CEO of Raw Dog Food and Company, where your pet's health is our business, and we're friends. Don't let friends feed what? That's right, kibble. We don't feed kibble here at Raw Dog Food and Company. Why? Because we want your dog to have the best health ever. All right. Well, today we're going to take a little turn from health, but I think it's healthy to have a well-trained dog. Right. So that is why I've got Doggy Dan on the podcast with us today. Doggy Dan is the founder of the Online Dog Trainer. It's a wildly successful online training program for dog owners. And with years of experience working with every type of behavioral dog issue. Now, we know that my pet parents don't have any dogs with issues. But anyway, every breed and age of dog, you know, nothing's too tricky. For Doggy Dan, we're going to try to trip him up today and see if we can find something that's tricky for him, but I doubt that there is. But over the last decade alone, he has helped over 50,000 people successfully train their dogs and puppies using the exact methods found on the online dog trainer program that we're going to talk about today. And it's called the Online Dog Trainer .com. So, Doggy Dan, welcome to the Raw Dog Food Truth podcast.
Wow, great to be here. It's so fun to be here. And you know, you obviously do a lot about dogs' health. I think what we can touch into today, just to get your viewers or your listeners excited, is the mental health of your dog and how when you put this training in place, this is more than your usual sit down stay. This is going to help settle your dog's nervous system. And that'll help their physical well-being and their mental well-being. Because just like a human, when you're relaxed and happy, you have less illnesses, you have less mental stress, and less things go wrong with your body.
It's so true. And if you haven't noticed, Dan is not from America. Dan is from New Zealand, which is amazing, amazing. And you're helping people all over the country. Doesn't matter where you are. Online trainer can help you. Okay, so Dan, here's the thing. You are a no shock collar, no force, no fear type of trainer. But I have to ask you, Dan, what about that dog that wants to rip apart every dog it sees when it's out on a walk with its owner? I mean, how do you get that dog under control?
There's two ways of going about it. I mean, one question I would ask you is let's rather than just trying to say, how do we stop the behavior? Let's go a little bit deeper. And go, what is that dog thinking? What's that dog feeling? Why is the dog doing that? And nearly always it's to do with them being fearful and scared and trying to protect themselves or their property or their owners. You know, very, very few dogs actually want to fight. They're doing it because that they feel like they have to do that to defend themselves. So if you can communicate to a dog, you don't need to do that because you're safe and you primarily do that by saying, look, I'm in charge. I got all this covered. You can chill out, relax. And then they start looking at you and you can show them by your actions very simply, hey, don't worry, I got this. Dogs can read humans so easily. And there's something I've actually said there, which is so huge. And that is when you calm a dog down, their whole nervous system settles. And if I can be really quickly, give you an example of what I'm talking about is, when you have been stressed for a long period of time, we all know what it's like to be super stressed and something happens, like a small thing, your child does something, and you just snap at them. You snap because you're so stressed. And it's like that for these dogs. And so if we can get them to be calm, the whole polyvagal nerve, which is one of the main nerves in the dog, which can take a couple of weeks for it to totally settle down, a bit like when we go on holiday and we sit around a beach or, you know, on holiday for 2 weeks, we find our whole nervous system actually settles. So you actually end up with a totally different dog who's calm, relaxed. And if they're watching you and taking their cues from you, then you're halfway there because you just say to the dog, this way, leave it alone. As opposed to a dog who kind of is just, you know, eyes bulging, already panting, pulling on the lead, stressing, frothing at the mouth, just thinking, I've got to attack.
All right. So I've often wondered if animals, you know, do act like their owners, right? So if we have a really out of control animal, would you say that their human is not very settled? Can we tell a lot about humans from looking at the dog? I assume when you are working with animals, you're kind of a human therapist as well.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, the way dog training is going, and I think this is a real shame, and it's sad. We're looking at the animal is the problem. It's got nothing to do with me. Take my dog away, fix it, and bring it back to me. And that's where, behind closed doors, a lot of people are using shock collars just to electrocute the dog until it changes. It's just breaking the dog's spirit. And we never, as humans, actually get the benefits of realizing that what we're doing is we're maybe stressed and causing that problem. So there's a double loss there. The dog's spirit is half broken. And we don't actually go, well, maybe I'm stressed about something. Let me give you an example. There was, I worked with a couple, and they had a dog who, when they went outside, the lady said to me that the dog was so alert, so like looking around, like, what's the problem? And I can't remember if it was barking at people or dogs, so it doesn't matter, because the fascinating bit for me, and I like to think of myself as a little bit of a Sherlock Holmes sometimes when I'm working with people, because I ask a question which helps me understand, is it the dog or is it the owner or is it a combination? The gentleman, he said when he took the dog was totally calm, totally relaxed, totally switched off. And I dived a bit deeper. I said, so you're saying your dog is really relaxed, doesn't bark? And he said, nothing. It's so relaxed. And the lady said, but totally different when it's just me. And I got curious. I said, how do you feel when you're walking on the street? She said, I'm pretty stressed. I'm pretty alert. And I thought, well, what's going on here? Now, I often ask this question. I said to the lady, can you tell me, would you mind telling me what it is you do, you know, primarily, you know, for work or spend most of your time doing, or, you know, what's your job? She said, I'm a police officer. So if you, I've actually been a police officer and I know what it's like. When you're out on the street, even when you are off duty, you're actually officially on duty, that if you see a crime, something strange happening, you really need to take action. You can't just turn a blind eye. So she's out there on the street walking the dog, but she's totally alert, watching, stressed. And I said to her, do you feel stressed when you're walking? She said, yeah, I'm alert and wired and can't switch off. And lo and behold, you know, there's a great example of the dog had picked up on her energy and was just replicating exactly what she was feeling. And yet when the gentleman took the dog for a walk, the dog said, well, you're relaxed, so I'll be relaxed. So the dogs are like a sponge. They're like a mirror. You can't have it any other way. And, you know, your listeners may not like to hear it, but I believe it's just like with children. You know, it's easy to blame the children and say it's all their fault and I've got a bad kid sort of thing. He's a bad child. But actually, you know, as parents, we have and caregivers, we have a massive impact in that, you know, they're kind of soaking up our energy. They're marinating in whatever energy that we, you know, surround them in, and it has a huge, huge impact. So, yeah.
That must be, Dan, why my dogs are perfect. I mean, it must be.
There's living proof, exactly.
Yeah, Didi. Living proof, absolutely. No, I tell you, when I get a call where people are saying, well, my dog stopped eating, or, you know, something going on like that, we go through a buttload of questions. We really do. Right.
Gotcha.
But here is this one thing I'm always asking, what is going on in the home? We got a divorce going on. We've got somebody moving. What's going on? And I had a customer who lived in another state, and they were feeding a different blend. Now, not mine, but a different blend. And there had been a recall on this blend. Now, what I have to say about recalls in raw dog food is that they're bogus. I mean, seriously, Dan, they are absolutely bogus, because there is a zero tolerance policy for bacteria, right?
Yep.
So they go in, they do a swab. And of course, real dog food is going to have bacteria because it needs to have good and bad, right? They need to play, you know, nicely in the same environment. And they do. But anyway, I said, well, I don't think that's the case, you know, because she was saying, well, maybe that's the food, you know. And I said, no, I don't think that's the case. I know that brand, it's a great company. I said, what else is going on? I said, tell me, anything changed at the time that this dog, German Shepherd, stopped eating? She said, well, I was diagnosed with cancer and I had to immediately go to the Mayo Clinic. And it just dawned on her at that time that this was extremely stressful for the entire family. And the dog had picked up on that energy, wasn't sleeping in the same place he was usually sleeping. He was, you know, all of his mannerisms were off. So it was very interesting because now they are here. They are here in Colorado and they are a customer of ours. And the dog's doing great. She's been treated. She's happier. She's happy here. So anyway, I do absolutely believe that dogs pick up on energy. But I want to ask you, how do you go back to this police woman that was walking the dog? She's inherently going to be on guard as she goes outside because that's how she's been trained. How do you actually get your own energy changed so the dog can relax?
Oh my gosh, this is so cool. Yeah, I just got a vision. It's like a tree. There's like four parts to this tree and there's so much, as you speak, there's so much stuff I want to speak into. It's like, oh my gosh, this is so cool. Yeah. Can I just jump back? Can you hold that thought and that question, Diddy? And can I just go back to something you mentioned earlier?
Because you can do anything you want.
All
go.
Right, all right. Yeah. So one of the things you've touched into, which has just made me go, wow, is do you get quite a few dogs who suddenly kind of stop eating their food? Or people say, why has my dog stopped eating their food?
Yeah, they do. Okay. I mean, there's all over the board. But yeah, go ahead.
Yep. So one thing I want to touch into, because this is like massive. This is so huge and it connects into everything that I do and kind of a lot of what you do. When dogs stop eating, it may be medical, in my opinion. Like it may be they've got, I don't know, stomach ulcers or they're very sick. And you sometimes need to take them to the vet. It may be that they just don't like the food and, you know, they're saying this is actually poison. It's terrible. It's got terrible preservatives in it or something like, or they're just bored and they may be full, of course. But the other thing which very, very few people realize, and this is you ready? Have we got a drum? Can we do a drum roll? Da-da-da-da-da. So when dogs want to take control and say, I'm in charge, and this can happen when you move house, when people get divorced, when people get sick, when people discover they've got cancer, or just when the dog hits kind of 6 months or 18 months old, when they start beating their chest and saying, I'm a tough dog, I'm in charge. One of the things they'll do is they will leave the food and they will come back to it later if they can. And it all starts to fall apart. If you don't understand the power of the food, let me flip this. The fastest way to ruin your dog is to leave a bowl of food down on the ground for them to graze. In my opinion, there's no such thing as a grazer. There's just dog owners who don't understand. You don't let your dog graze.
Exactly.
Dogs don't graze. So, yeah. So if you have a dog who's suddenly stopped eating their food, I mean, very simply put, and I don't want to go into it too much, but pick the food up and don't feed them until their next meal. That's it in a nutshell.
Do you know what, Dan? Pet parents are so afraid to fast a dog. And we know that by fasting a dog, at least one meal a week, come on, one meal a week. Now, some people feed their dogs one meal a day. That's fine. Some people feed twice a day. In the raw diet, typically you're not going to let them graze because it's gone in about 3 seconds.
Exactly. Yeah.
Right? But pet parents are so afraid that their dogs are going to starve. They don't get one meal. What do you have to say about that?
Well, you know what? If you don't eat for the rest of today, Didi, will you wake up tomorrow?
Yes, I will. Fat and happy still.
You know what? We'll probably be healthier because we'll have had a proper kind of a mini break. We'll have given our guts a chance to, you know, and this is kind of the same with dogs. I mean, most dogs, I don't want to say how long they can survive without food, but it would blow you away. So I've worked with, like you say, you know, well over 50,000 dogs. What I'm talking about here is not that we starve the dog. We give the dog a chance to eat. At least once a day, if not twice a day, in the morning and in the night. But if they refuse to eat the food when you put it down, you pick it straight back up and don't feed them again till the next meal. Now, the longest a dog has done this for, most dogs will go for maybe one meal, maybe two, maybe a couple of days. The longest, some dogs will go for three, but the longest ever is 5 days. A lady told me her dog didn't eat for 5 days. And I'm not saying we starved it. We put food down on the ground and said, well, you haven't eaten for 2 days. There's your food. Dog walks up to it, sniffs it, looks at it. Now, I tell you, if that dog could stick a finger up in her and say, you know, screw you, it would have. The way to think of it is not that your dog is kind of starving and hungry. They are smart. They are playing a game and they are testing you just like a child will test to see if you're going to crack first. But this is all part of a much bigger thing, which is who's in charge, who's controlling the food. And I relate food to kind of money with a child. Like humans, you know, money keeps the wheel going around. It keeps us alive. It keeps us going. We can buy everything with money. For a dog, the food is like its life force, its energy. It is, you know, it's if they control the food, then you can end up in real trouble real quick. Just like if you were to give your child $100 on the way to school every single morning, or $1,000. You gave your child $1,000 because you love them, they'd end up in real trouble, big trouble, real quickly.
Well, you know, I always say this to my pet parents, because Dan, I've been feeding raw for 21 years, right? And yep. As you have seen, yep. Thousands and thousands of dogs, so have we, right? And the thing that I have never, again, my dogs are perfect, but I have never had a German, a Dachshund, a Lab have an issue with any raw food. But there are dogs, and I'm not in the home, so I don't know if they've had vaccines, flea and tick, heartworm. I don't know what's going on. They got sprays in the yard. But here's what I always ask the pet parent. They'll say, well, my dog stopped eating. Now, it could be very simple, Dan. They could have teeth problems. Maybe the cold food's bugging them. It could be that they've been feeding one protein for too damn long, because we say variety, yes. Variety, variety. And it could be that they have snubbed the food, and then the pet parents are saying, oh, I want my dog to eat, so I'm going to sneak this kibble back in there and kibble again. High sugary, high starch, get the dog addicted again. And so it's so funny, because I say to my pet parents, what do you do when your dog snubs the food? Because very few, Dan, very few will hold out. They're like, no, my dog, you know, I had one lady, Dan, oh my goodness. So we have a home delivery service. And on this particular delivery, the delivery service delivered it to the wrong house. She called back and she was screaming at the top of her lungs, I've got to have my food. My dog is starving. My dog is starving. The woman was about to lose her mind.
Oh my goodness.
And we got the food right there to her within an hour. But I was thinking, oh my gosh, I certainly would like to see what kind of a personality this dog has. Because the pet parent was going berserko.
Yeah. Look, I mean, I've seen stuff which literally blows your mind. You know, it's been hard for me to not kind of roll on my back laughing at some of my dear clients when they've told me that, you know, dear Bruno only eats ribeye steak and chicken breast. That's all he'll eat.
That's like, all the parents will give them.
That's all that, exactly. I was like, no, your dog would eat a lot more than that if he was hungry enough. And, you know, I've worked with people, they had, I think it was about 9 different little dishes. And in the dishes, in every room, was chicken, pieces of chicken, fresh chicken for that day. And every morning, the man, who was the CEO of a large company, woke up, you know, he bossed around 2,000 people at work. But every morning before he went to work, he got the chicken and put it in 9 bowls just in case his dog got hungry in one of the rooms.
That's hilarious.
And, you know, and so we do have these crazy imaginations that, you know, we don't understand how tough these little dogs are and the games that they will play to control that food. And I want to link this back to the behavioral side of things that, like I say before, and I'll stand by this because I've worked with so many dogs. If you leave food on the ground, that's the fastest way to screw your dog up. And by screw it up, I just mean you'll have a way more out of control dog than if you learn to control the food and you don't let your dog graze. So however good your dog is, I can almost guarantee you'd have a better dog if you pick the food up and learn to control it. And this is one of the things that a lot of people who have these really out of control dogs don't understand. So where I'm coming from is, you know, the dog who's just out of control in every area, you know, doesn't come when called, barks its head off all the time, it's aggressive, it's hyperactive, it pulls on the leash, it's just doesn't listen, and it's stressed. That dog very often has a big pile of kibble in the corner of the room all day long, and a bone, and rawhide, and antlers, and chews, and just scattered everywhere.
Now, he doesn't have to work for anything, right?
Doesn't have to, yeah. And he is the king. Don't tell him he's not the king. He doesn't even need you because he's got all this food. He can survive without you. Just like a child who's given $1,000 every day. He doesn't need mum or dad. He buys sweets on the way to school. He buys his own clothes. He buys his friends. He buys whatever he wants. So it's very hard to control and say, you know, train these dogs. And same with a child. You can't say to your child who's given $1,000 every day, if you wash the car, I'll give you $5 or $10. They'll laugh at you. So just by picking up the food, controlling the food, you can calm that dog right down. And in my website, theonlinedogtrainer.com, what I show you is a very powerful trick, which you do with the food. And I'm not going to share it with you because if you're interested, you can go in there and have a look. It's only $1 to check it out for 3 days. There's a very powerful, it's more than a trick. It's a way of communicating with your dog in no uncertain terms. I'm in charge. I control the food. And these dogs see you doing it, and it's like, wow, wow. It hits them, boom, right where it counts in the whole body. You can see that when I do it with these dogs, they look at me like they cannot believe what I'm doing. And then I feed them. And I'm going to leave it like that. Leave it hanging for people. If you're interested, go and have a look.
Yeah, and that site again, theonlinedogtrainer.com. You won't miss it. Yep. It's Dan right there with the dog. It's Doggy Dan. Of course it is.
And this is all part of a program which I call the Dog Calming Code. And in the Dog Calming Code, it's all about how do you connect with your dog before you do any training? How do you develop that relationship so it's not done through force with a prong collar or a shock collar? You're not putting electric current through your dog's neck. It's done through love. But it's strong. It's like, it's how do you say to your dog, I've got a strong spine. I know my yes. I know my no. I will look after you. I'll protect you. And I love you. I absolutely love you. And so the Dog Calming Code is how do you develop that relationship so that your dog's listening to you, trusts you, respects you, comes when called, and knows that you've got them safe. And you put that program in place first. And the first part of it, believe it or not, is to do with the food. And that's where that video, which I was just sharing about before, it's all there. And then when you put the Dog Calming Code in place, and it works for puppies too, you should put it in place as soon as you get your puppy. And then you can see what issues you've actually got, because a lot of these behavioral issues disappear. Your dog calms down when you put the Dog Calming Code in place before you do any other training.
Well, this is the reason that so many dogs end up in shelters, right? Or so many dogs get given away because a pet parent thinks they're unmanageable. And it's like, no, you don't understand. Here's what we see in the world today, Dan. Tell me if you don't see this. It's called anthropomorphism. Okay. And that is where people put their human traits, their human emotions, their characteristics, their behaviors onto their animals. So they think that these are their kids. Now, we all look at our animals like a part of our family. But Dan, help us understand, these are animals. They are not human.
Okay. Lovely. It's not that they don't have any of these feelings. And I actually believe that they do. However, the way a dog is set up is different to how a human works and thinks. So let me give you a really, really basic example. A dog is not embarrassed or shamed if they run around naked outside and sniff each other's butts.
Yeah, right.
There's no shame there. There's no shame at all.
There's some people that have no shame in that, but okay, we'll talk about that later.
Exactly. I don't know what sort of audience you have, but you know, if we all run around naked all day, you know, and walk down the street, then there's a bit of embarrassment, but it's shame. We kind of get arrested, all sorts of things going on there. So we have to recognize there are huge differences, but and you know, there's the human is judged a lot by what clothes they wear, they're judged by what car they drive, whereas the dog doesn't care at all whether you've got a $3,000 car or a $300,000 car, whether the dog collar they're wearing is a Gucci $900 diamond studded collar, or whether it's just a $2 leash from the $2 store. So we have to understand there's things which are similar and things which they are different. So yes, we love them like our little children, and we're pet parents, and they are, we can love them as much sometimes as our own children, I believe. You know, some people don't have children, so they're the love of their life. And we have all those emotions for them. But you can't treat them the same way. You can't treat them exactly the same as you would a child, because it does go very wrong. So dogs do have an opinion, because they have an opinion on people. They can walk past a person and say, I don't trust this person. And that's what I'm talking about. You know, those dogs are probably gauging the energy of people better than we are. You know, my dog used to walk up to people and say, this lady's pregnant. I used to know she could tell. Peanut just knew that sort of stuff. So they do have an opinion. If you take no notice of it, then that's your call. But I'm not saying that they should make the rules. So I guess that's probably where I'd see it differently, that there's a difference between them having an opinion and you listening to everything they say, because they may well say, you know, let me give you an example. A lady once rang me. And she said that we got a problem, my dog's barking. And it was actually, I think it was a Dachshund. And she said, it actually sleeps in our bed, and it sleeps on my husband's head, across the top of his pillow, on his head. And he barks every night, 3-4 times a night. And she told me, and she said, we've done everything. And I said to the lady, I said, shall I tell you what the real problem is? She said, what? I said, the real problem is your husband has a dog on his head. She said, what do you mean? I said, well, the real problem is your husband has a dog on his head. She said, yeah, but he likes it. I said, I know, but that's the problem. She said, oh, do you think that's part of the reason why he's barking? I said, come on. You know, if you had a German Shepherd and the German Shepherd wanted to lie on your husband's head at night, or if you had a child and your child's like 12 years old and he wants to lie on top of your husband's head at night, you know, your child might want to do that some things, but sometimes we have to make the rules for our children and for our pets, and it might not always be what they want. So that's the kind of, you know, my dogs are always saying, I want this, I want that. But a lot of the time I go, no, I'll make the rules, I'll make the decisions. And what I do with my dogs is I give them what I feel is fair, and I set them up a bit like my kids. You know, my kids would probably enjoy watching movies all day and eating not so good food a lot of the time. But we as parents do what's right for our children. Set them up to win. We listen to what they like, what they don't like, but ultimately we're kind of making most of the decisions.
Now, I do want to ask you about this. How do I know, Dan, if somebody is got bad juju, right? They're not my dog's picking up on something, or if he's just acting up. I mean, how do I tell?
Yeah. Well, whatever your dog is doing, they are doing it. So if your dog is backing off and barking from somebody, then they are saying, I'm backing up and barking for a reason. The reason may not be that they have bad juju, as you call it. It may be something else. It may be that they are actually scared of dogs. That's just an example. So like my mum is still terrified of dogs, which is why we never had a dog growing up, which is kind of why I never realized I was so loved working with dogs, because we never had one. So my mum would often make dogs bark because her face, her whole body, her whole energy would back up and kind of go, ooh. And the dog would see her and go, ooh, something's wrong. So dogs can feel that there's something not right. And very often they'll go into that kind of barking. So you have to kind of use your intuition and go, well, ask the question, why would my dog be barking at this person? It could be that the person's just overly friendly and made a move towards the dog too quickly, if that makes sense. But
yeah,
the dog's still saying, back off. And that then depends on the personality of the dog, that one dog may love that sort of high energy person, like a young child coming towards them. Another dog may just say, no, I don't like that sort of energy, back off. So, but there are dogs as well who will literally, they just know that there's something very deeply, sinisterly wrong with a person. I've heard, you know, having worked with so many dogs, the stories I've heard are just incredible. And some of them some of them are literally dogs knew that somebody was bad news. And
all girls should walk their dogs by any prospective boyfriend before they go out with them to see what the dog thinks. There you go.
Hey, if your dog really, I mean, unless, but here's the thing. If you have a dog, you see, who's a male dog, and you're doing everything wrong in terms of saying to the dog, I'm in charge and I make the rules. You know, if you're saying to your dog, oh, you're in charge, you got a big dog called, I don't know, what's a big macho sounding name?
Brutus.
Brutus, yeah, Brutus. So you got a big dog called Brutus, and a lot of people say, oh, I like Brutus protecting me, and I like Brutus kind of, I feel powerful when Brutus is, you know, barking at everybody. Well, if you set Brutus up to be like that, and then you get a boyfriend who kind of turns up and Brutus starts growling and barking at him, then, you know, that's not really a boyfriend's fault. That's just a case of Brutus is saying, this is my job, this is the job. And if you think about it, this is the job that inside the owner's heart and mind and body, you actually wanted your dog to be like that. And this is where so often what we really deep down want is our dog to be the way that they've turned out. And quite often that can be that they love us so much that they don't want anyone else coming near us. And have I set my dog up to be like this, or is it really that my boyfriend's no good?
Yeah. Well, that's a whole nother podcast. But here's a question for you.
Yeah.
All right. So Lazi, my soon-to-be three-year-old GSD, Schutzen, she's in Schutzen training, and she's an amazing dog. If my husband gets out of the car, she will protect the car with me in it. If I get out of the car, she does not feel the need to protect the car with my husband in it. Is that because he is the pack leader? What's going on there?
Well, it can be one of two things, and I'm kind of covering, you know, I'm covering both bases here, but this is literally what I found is sometimes the dog, because this is where the way the dog interprets it, you know, every dog's different. And so some dogs will say, I am actually protecting you. So it may be that the dog is protecting you, Dee Dee, and the dog feels more stressed because it's just you and the dog. Does that, so literally, which, yeah. However, sometimes what happens is when, say, your husband gets out the car, the dogs can also become very stressed because they can't protect your husband anymore. So only you will know. If I was sat in the car watching, I'd probably get a good idea. But if your dog becomes very stressed and is looking at your husband as he walks down the street, your eyes bulging, kind of stressed, watching him, barking, watching him, that's could well be that your dog is saying, I can't protect your husband anymore. How do I protect him? And they become so stressed. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
And so that's the stress. And that's almost more to do with separation anxiety, that the dog is in the car, separated from your husband who's left, and the dog is actually barking to protect your husband. So I've actually worked with a lady. She had a Mastiff dog, and twice this dog got so stressed when she left the dog in the car, he smashed through the windscreen and came and found her. And one time she was in a fish and chip shop, and so the dog wandered into the fish and chip shop covered in blood and glass, and everyone screamed, and he just kind of waddled up to her and sat down next to her and started licking her, saying, oh, I've got you. But that's separation anxiety. Dog becomes stressed. Because the dog feels they have to protect you and look after you. And again, if you can put something like the dog calming code in place, you flip it around, and then the dog just sleeps on the back seat when you leave. They don't have a job to do like that.
Wow. Yeah. So what she does is she barks at other people. So I maybe didn't clarify that. So if somebody comes near the window, she's going to bark at them if I'm in the car. If Rick's in the car, she's like, ah, no need. Right.
So sounds like she's more protecting you, to be honest. It does sound like that a little bit. So
because I'm a wiener. No, I'm fine. All right. So that's interesting. So let me ask you, Dan, what I know it must be all over the board, but do you find that there are certain training programs that people need more than others or take advantage? What's the most popular training program on your site?
Oh, the Dog Calming Code. The Dog Calming Code. So the Dog Calming Code is the bit which is missing in dog training. And I don't say that lightly. You know, literally, if you haven't got the dog calming code in place, I think you're missing out with your dog like you couldn't believe in terms of a fast win. So whether you're using clickers and cheese and like positive only training, cool. I love only positive training too. However, I use more than just treats and positive training. It's the way you connect with your dog to say, I'm in charge. I'm making the decisions. Focus on me and I'll give you your cue. So that's the program, the dog calming code. And when you put that in place, you know, a lot of people using shock collars and prong collars to force the dogs to change, they won't even need them. You know, I've worked with very few dogs that I couldn't, you know, couldn't either change their behavior or, you know, with a bit of time and patience, the dog wouldn't have changed their behavior. Like tiny number, like a fraction of a percent. So I know that you put this in place, almost every dog responds to it. And that's why it's not really training your dog as much as it's the foundation that needs to be put in place before you do the training, the dog calming code, and then put that in place and then see how everything changes.
You know Cesar Millan, right?
Yes, yes.
So Cesar Millan talks a lot about energy.
Yes.
And he really seems to promote that's a thing. You've got to have this certain energy around your dogs. And I had a friend who actually went to some courses with Cesar, and she said, oh my gosh, his energy was just crazy,
yep.
Crazy calm and, you know, sort of hypnotizing.
When you meet another person, you know, when you hit it off, half the time it's not the clothes they're wearing. It's not how they look. It's their energy. You know, the person whose the eyes are darting, they're not even looking at you, or they're kind of twitching and they're not even stood up straight and they're nervous. And I mean, that's all energy. You know, we've all met people where we just go, this guy feels, ooh, or this woman feels like she's not quite there. Her mind's distracted and darting everywhere and she's not connected. And then there's other people you just walk up and they just stand straight in front of you, calm, relaxed. There's a landing strip for whatever you've got. And you go, this person's solid. That's energy. And the dogs can feel all of that. So can I tell you a quick story?
Absolutely.
So I've got a lovely, she's a good friend now. But when I went round to see her as a client, I'd never met her before. And she told me she had a dog which had all these weird behaviors. And they all came back down to the dog calming code. Poor dog was, you know, in control, trying to work things out. But one of the issues she said was, the dog did this weird thing. He jumped up on the bed once and just started peeing everywhere, peed all over the bed. Okay. So what was happening there? Was the dog toilet trained? Oh, yeah, he was toilet trained. And we were doing nothing. I was actually getting ready to go out. I said, what was happening? She said, well, I'm a singer. I was singing at a jazz festival and I was rushing around trying to find my shoes. I said, okay, so was there anything else happening? She said, no, that was it. I said, well, so how were you running around? Were you like busy? Or she said, oh my God, I was so stressed because I could only find one of my red shoes. I couldn't find the other one. I said, so what were you actually doing? She said, well, I was screaming, where's my shoes? Where's my shoes? Where's my other shoe? I said, okay, so you're running around the house screaming, where's my shoe? And she said, oh, my husband was running around and he was shouting, calm down. And at that point, your dog jumped on the bed and just peed all over it. Now, I can't tell you exactly what went through the dog's mind, but I can guarantee you that this poor dog is watching this woman. The dog had no idea why this lady was screaming. The poor dog can't work it out. She doesn't understand that there's a jazz concert and she's the main singer and it's really important and she needs two shoes and she's looking for the other shoe and she's stressed out. Poor dog just was overcome. I mean, we talk about peeing our pants when we're nervous and stressed. Yeah, the dear dog literally peed itself on the bed. I've got no doubt. And, you know, you see it all the time, but as humans, we don't put the one and one together and get two. We kind of just ignore the fact that what we were doing had any effect on our dogs. But, you know, my wife, who works with horses a lot, she often says, when people say, like, something happened with the horse, or we could say, what happened with the dog? You can always say, what happened? What were you doing just before the thing that happened?
Mm-hmm.
Just before that thing that happened, what were you doing? Were you focused? Were you calm? Probably not.
Yeah, maybe the dog was saying, piss on you. You're driving me crazy.
I mean, just before, that's the thing. Just before the dog peed on the bed, a woman was racing around the house screaming, in the dog's mind, screaming at absolutely nothing. It must have been terrifying for this dog. And that's where you have to see it through the dog's eyes. Think like a dog. What must it be like to have that sort of energy and the dear dog doesn't know what to do because it doesn't even know what the problem is?
Well, tell me about this, Dan.
Yeah.
These masks. Masks that people have been wearing for the last year. Dogs are reading people's energy, but they're also reading their faces.
Yeah.
How confusing, not only for kids, but I've said too, what psychological issues does that play into in the dog training world?
Yeah, I mean, I got no idea. I mean, they do read a lot of our facial expressions, so it must be quite weird. Suddenly, you know, the dogs are looking at all the humans wearing muzzles and going, why are they wearing all the muzzles? Maybe, So it is strange for the biggest issue that I see coming, and it's happened and it's happening now, and when this podcast gets out, it may be listened to by people in years to come. But the whole being around our dogs and being so close to them for so long has led to, you know, a lot of people have been locked in the house with their dogs. They've never left the dogs. And that creates a massive amount of separation anxiety that when you leave the dog becomes extremely stressed. So that's the biggest problem that I'm hearing about and seeing a lot of, that these dogs just, especially the puppies, the ones who've always had lots of people around them, are suddenly being left at home, and they're being, some of them are being abandoned because people think it's a really, really tough one to solve. You know, if your dog's peeing and pooing in the house when you leave it, or being destructive or barking. But actually, it's one of the simplest things to stop. Separation anxiety when you leave your dog can be stopped by putting the dog calming code in place, because when the dogs get stressed when they're left alone, it's nothing to do with boredom. It's not that you can leave food down, as we've already touched on. Leaving the dog with a meaty bone is not going to stop separation anxiety. It's to do with the dog thinking they're in charge and they need to look after you. A bit like if you're a babysitter or a mother or a parent and you're in charge of a child. If that child suddenly disappears, or you see them out on the street and they're wandering down the street on their own and they're 3 or 4 years old, you don't sit down with a cup of tea and get a magazine out and start reading and go, oh, I'll just have a bit of a break. Your job is to look after them and protect them. So you do whatever it needs to be done to get outside and rescue and save that child and protect them. And the dogs are like that. If they think they're in charge and it's their role to look after you and be near you and protect you, which is the message we give our dogs subconsciously, then that's what the dogs will do. And if you lock them up in the house or in a back garden, they're so stressed because they think their job is to be with you and get back to you. So if you flip it around and say, you don't need to worry about me, I'm fine, and you can do that with the dog calming code, then the dog's more than happy for you to wander in and out and come and go and leave them for long periods of time.
So are there breeds, Dan, that are more aggressive than others, that are tougher to train than others? Some people would say pit bulls. Here in Denver, Colorado, there has been this banning of pit bulls, right? Across the board, banning of pit bulls. Now, I know some pit bulls that are lovey-doveys, right? So what would you say about these certain, you know, we put these broad strokes on certain dogs that they're just totally aggressive. They're banned in this apartment. They're banned in this part of the city. What do you think about that?
Yeah, I'm not really into it, to be honest. It never feels like an authentic and a genuine and a realistic way of solving the problem. You know, the problem is really about education and understanding, you know, what's going on at a bigger picture. You know, every breed, I would say, does have a propensity. You know, some dogs are definitely faster runners and some dogs are more into kind of being more kind of protective around the property. And well, some dogs are built for speed and some are short distances and some are long distances and some have high energy. So some have bigger jaws and some are stronger and some are, you know, much bigger physically. So they're all different. But to think you can just label a breed and say, let's just wipe out that breed, it doesn't work. It's never going to work like that, because there's always breeds which are so closely to that breed, and then that becomes the breed of choice. And yeah, there's always going to be the biggest dog that's around. So if you get rid of all the pit bulls, then you're going to have, you know, other breeds very similar to pit bull or pit bull mix. And at the end of the day, I've worked with so many pit bulls, and so many of them are the friendliest dogs, and I mean the friendliest dogs you'll ever meet. Because part of the thing they do have is a high pain threshold. So, you know, little kids pull their tail or kind of accidentally kick them or stand on them, and they don't wince or snap or bite. They're very tolerant, way more tolerant than many of the other breeds. So it's like with everything, you know, it's swings and roundabouts that they're actually very, very good in some respects as a family pet. And unfortunately, of course, we don't need to touch into this much, but if you do want to have a dog who's a big, strong, aggressive dog, then you're going to choose a big, strong, powerful dog, and the pit bull is that breed. So that's partly why they do get a bit of a bad rap, because the people who are wanting to use them for not so good reasons will, you know, they're always going to choose that rather than a chihuahua to protect the property. So, and that's the thing. You're never going to say, oh, I need a good dog to protect my garage, I'll buy a chihuahua. So they're setting them up, you know, by default. They're kind of, I'm just thinking of an analogy, but it's almost like saying, you know, most of the doormen, I think you call them doormen in America, around nightclubs and bars.
Oh yeah, bouncers.
Yeah, most of the people getting in fights around the bars and the doormen, or door people, they're men, and they're big men. So big men must be more violent. It's not really the case. It's just they're the men that are chosen to be doormen and barmen because they're the ones who could do the job really well, generally speaking.
If our listeners go to your site, the online dogtrainer.com, you have the puppy coach, you have the dog calming code, you have potty training made easy, the easy way to the obedient dog, and then you have the Dog Trainer Academy. You would suggest that people first check out the dog calming code before you do any of the other ones?
That's right. So if you go to the online dogtrainer.com and you can kind of just press get started, or basically there's a $1 trial for 3 days to get the complete pack, which is kind of everything. So you get all the programs, and it starts with the dog calming code. So if you go on there now, there are some buttons which says, well, you know, what do you need help with the most? You want your dog to be less aggressive? Come when called, stop leash pulling, stop barking, or training your new puppy. And if you click on those, it'll take you to a page where it explains what's in the site and what's in the program. But you basically get access to everything. So I've deliberately made it so it's not like I sell you a little bit and then you get another bit and then another bit. I actually give you a $1 trial to try out everything. Everything's in there from day one, because I just wanted to give people the chance to see it all and have it all.
I love how you have it set up. You have your podcast there, your blog, you have a book. You're the doggy Dan. You really are. You're the dog man.
Yeah. Doggy Dan. I love my dogs. I love my dogs. So if people are thinking, well, what should I go to? You know, you could go to the programs and go to the one called The Easy Way to an Obedient Dog. But that's more of an explanation of kind of what we've been talking about for the last half hour or 45 minutes. So you could go through it. It really explains this methodology. But if you've liked what you've heard, I would just click on the button which says get started. And the beauty is you get 3 days to check the whole program out, all of the programs for 3 days. And you'll see the changes within those 3 days. In fact, a lot of people who cancel, when we say, oh, no problem, you've canceled, can we ask you why you didn't stay on? They say, well, we've actually solved the problem. It can work that fast. So, yeah.
That's nice.
Yeah.
Well, before I let you go, I want to ask you one last question. And that is, other than putting the dog food down, and remember, guys, you don't do that in the raw dog food world because they're going to eat it that fast. But what is the other, that you would say, misconception that pet parents have about their dogs? What's the biggest misconception that we can clear up for them today?
Yeah, the other one I would say, or I'll give you two. One is to do with your energy in terms of more often than not. I mean, I say more often than not. I've almost never met anybody who said, I wish my dog was more excited. You know, we're always trying to calm the dogs down. So if you want to calm your dog down, try being calmer yourself. And by that, I literally mean, see what happens if you wake up in the morning and you just don't get all excited and do the, you know, how's Jericho this morning? Hey, bro, you know, Billy, come here. Jump, 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 jump. Speaking the high-pitched voice, the hyperactive, you know. If I speak like this, do you feel more stressed or more calm when I'm talking like this? You know what I mean, Didi? If I'm not, you just don't stop. And it's just exhausting. So if we actually calm right down, and with, you know, dogs are our best friends, and yet they hardly speak. And you've got to ask the question, is that why we love them so much? Because they're so calm and quiet a lot of the time. And if you watch a pack of dogs, they're often, you know, like wolves or dogs when they've lived together for a long time, packs, they just all move around calmly and quietly. And so by being calm, it's incredible the impact we can have on our dogs, especially before we take them for a walk or get them in the car. So that's one thing. And the other thing is to be aware of giving our dogs everything they want, and particularly giving them the pats and cuddles whenever they tell us to. Because a lot of the time what's happening is the dog's saying, you know, give me this, give me that, open the door, let me in, let me out, give me a massage, pat me, cuddle me, I want to jump on your lap. And we think we just love them, but actually it sets them up to fail, because just like a child who's given everything they want, they end up spoiled. And, you know, my analogy is if I walk up to my wife and I point to my shoulder and say, massage me here, darling, just massage me, this is because I love you. And my wife starts massaging me and then she stops. And I go, hey, keep going until I stopped. You know, my wife's not a fool. She wouldn't do that. She knows that's not love. That's not love. For those of you who are confused, no, that's not love. That's just me telling my wife to give me a massage. And so just be aware of your dog walking up to you and jumping on you and telling you to pat them whenever they want. I know it feels nice sometimes, and this is what I go through in the membership site. You know, you can still pat and cuddle your dog, but it's understanding when and how, so that you flip it around so your dog loves you. In fact, they'll love you even more. They'll want your pats and cuddles even more, but you're kind of using it in the right way rather than giving it all away for free. Because when you give all your pats and cuddles and affection away for free, it actually becomes kind of worthless, and you can't use it when you really need it.
See, I think that all my pet parents should go through your course, because I hear them freaking out a lot, Dan. So they will say, well, I give my dog this kibble because they love it. Or I give my dog this really crappy processed treat because they love it. And I always say, yes, I might like crack as well, but it's not good for me. And so this training would be great for my pet parents, because they could help their dogs help them. You know what I'm saying?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And it's, you know, it's so, I've written a book called What the Dogs Taught Me About Being a Parent, and there's an audio version on the site and stuff. But it's so similar. You know, my children, they love chocolate. They want to eat chocolate before bed. They want to watch their movies late into the night. They don't want to go to bed when it's time to go to bed because they've got school the next. There's so much stuff as a parent, and I love my children. And I put these rules and boundaries, and I do these things. It's not because my children want to do it in the moment, but I know it's best for them. And it's the same with our dogs. You know, the number of parents who, or dog parents who say, my dog won't come when it's called. Yeah, but you give your dog the pats and cuddles every single time in and around the house. And then when you call them outside the house, the dog won't come. Now, there's a connection there. You know, it's understanding what you're doing inside the house is actually screwing your dog up outside the house. And so much of what we do with the dog calming code is before you ever leave the house, it's what you're doing inside the house that really counts, whether it's dog aggression or not coming when called or dogs pulling on the leash or barking. Just like with children, you know, you can't just go to a restaurant and expect your children to be beautifully behaved and be proud of them if they're out of control at home. It all comes back to what you were doing, the relationship you have with them. Same with the kids, same with the dogs. Yeah.
And you know, before we started this training with Lozzie, Dan, I didn't realize that I was advancing some bad habits. I was I didn't know. I was like, oh, I didn't know that I was telling her, okay, that bad habit is good. Nutrition, I got that. But behavior, you have to go to Doggy Dan, because I don't know.
Yeah. And I like to be the same way. You know, I know enough about nutrition to get by, I'd like to think, but I'm not a specialist. And I decided I want to be a specialist in the behavior side of things. And I couldn't agree more that you only know what you know. You don't know the mistakes that you're making. And some of them are huge. And some of them we're doing 10, 20, 50, 100 times a day. We're making the same, drilling in the same wrong message to our dogs, and we don't even know it. And it's, you know, over time, it has a huge impact. So,
well, how fair is that, Dan? How fair is that that maybe you're going to scold your dog for doing a bad behavior that you, as the pack leader, have enforced? That's not fair.
Yeah, and that's why I'm so keen on owner education. And this is why this program is so aligned to what I believe as a dog owner and a dog lover and a dog trainer, that it's not that your dog's actually going to sit and watch these videos. It's about you re-educating yourself. But the beauty of that is you're making the mistakes. You've got the solution. You're the solution to the problem. You have the power. And when you change and you have that power, you become empowered. You become like, wow, I'm one of those people who knows how to connect, not just with your dog, but you'll know how to connect with all the dogs. And in fact, a lot of people who do this program love it so much, they realize they know a lot more than a lot of the trainers around their area. And that's why I put together a program called dogtraineracademy.org, which is how to train trainers. And so for anybody who wants a journey of a lifetime, then Dog Trainer Academy, there's 150 trainers around the world now who are using this program, and they're set up as professional dog trainers very, very successfully, because it is very unique. It's different and kind, gentle way of connecting with the dogs.
Well, it is an awesome website, an awesome program. Again, the site is theonlinedogtrainer.com, theonlinedogtrainer.com. Doggy Dan, thank you so much for being on the podcast today. You can hear Doggy Dan's podcast as well. It's called the Doggy Dan Podcast Show. And so pretty easy to find. So on Apple Podcasts, Pandora, Spotify, a lot of those places. So Dan, thank you so much for joining the Raw Dog Food Truth podcast today. We really, really appreciate you being here. It's a great departure from just hearing about nutrition, but this is, again, it's mental health. It all goes together.
Yeah, absolutely. It's been an absolute pleasure and a lot of fun chatting to you, Didi. And yeah, thanks for having me on the show.
You're welcome. All right, everybody. That is our podcast today. Remember, you want to start your dog on a species-appropriate diet. Maybe you want to get them off the kibble so they'll be even better in Doggy Dan's training program. Just go to rawdogfoodandcompany.com, where your pet's health is our business, and friends, don't let friends feed kibble. We'll see you next week, everybody. Bye-bye.
Oh, snap.
Find out how you can start your dog on the road to health and longevity. Go to rawdogfoodandcompany.com, where friends don't let friends feed kibble, and where your pet's health is our business. Just snap.